Did Jesus really say that? Did you listen to that gospel reading? Did that one phrase in that reading jump out at you? It says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." That sounds like something Jesus would say. It's kind of disturbing if you read it. I want to talk about that phrase a little bit and put some context to it. Let me draw back a little bit, just a little bit of a kind of a teaching and how the three of the Gospels, it's pretty much agreed upon, came together. The Gospels of Mark and Matthew and Luke. John's Gospel is a separate category of itself. But many biblical scholars believe that the Gospel of Mark was written first. Mark's Gospel. Short, it's concise. And so when Matthew and Luke come along to write their Gospels, the Gospel of Mark already exists. And they're aware of that. So, for instance, in Matthew's Gospel, you'll find pretty much all of Mark's Gospel. It's kind of in there. And Matthew expands, expounds, adds things, changes some things, puts some things in different context. Luke does a similar thing. When Luke writes his Gospel, he's aware of Mark's Gospel, and there's quite a bit of Mark that's in Luke's Gospel. But he, too, adds things, brings things in on his own. A simple example, this isn't the only example, but a simple example is Mark's Gospel starts with the ministry of John the Baptist in the desert. One way of remembering is the desert, stark Mark. Brief, short, starts in the desert. What do Matthew and Luke do? They add a birth story. Matthew adds a birth story about the birth of Jesus. Luke adds a birth story about the birth of Jesus. They're actually very different stories, but they're birth stories. That's an example of their adding something to what they already had in Mark. So when you read those three Gospels, when you read Matthew and Luke, you'll find things in Matthew and Luke that are from Mark's Gospel. You'll find things that agree that Matthew and Luke used in common from Mark's Gospel, although they may have tweaked some things. And then there are things that are just in Matthew's Gospel and just in Luke's Gospel. You following me on this? But there are some things that are in Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel that seem to agree with each other, but they're not in Mark's Gospel. So scholars are trying to figure, where do those sayings come from? And it's believed that there was another source referred to as a collection of sayings of Jesus. It's called the Q source. And the German word, I better get this right, my daughter Rebecca is a language person. She's doing a minor in German. She's also studying Chinese. And I've always said the word Quelle, but she says, and maybe there's some German folks here, the correct pronunciation is more Quelle. Quelle. I hope I'm saying that right. If my daughter listens to this recording, she'll correct me, I'm sure. The Quelle source. It's a source. I think it's the word for source. So there were these other sayings that were gathered together, and it's believed that they were just sayings. Just sayings, a collection of sayings. There was no context. No narrative, no real explanation of where did Jesus say this, who was he speaking to, what was he trying to say. It's just a collection of sayings. And so some of those sayings, it's believed, are also put into Luke and Matthew's Gospel because there are similarities. It's believed that this verse that we read in our Gospel today is from that Q source, the collection of sayings. This saying, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself cannot be my disciple. It's believed it came from that Q source. We also find a similar phrase in Matthew's Gospel. But listen to how Matthew says it. Matthew says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Isn't that a little softer? a little more gentle. It's as if Matthew saw that saying and said, "Boy, that sounds very harsh. Let me try to soften that a little bit." So whereas Luke says, "If you don't hate father, mother, daughter, you can't follow me, even life itself." Whereas Matthew says, "Well, if you love them more than me, you know, we gotta talk." When we look at scriptures and you try to determine which is closer to what Jesus probably really said, most scripture scholars will say usually it's the phrase you don't want to hear. That's probably more what Jesus said. John Meyer is a huge biblical scholar today. He was one of my professors in seminary 34, 35 years ago. Little did I know he'd become so renowned today. But a lot of his writings show that he believes this saying was probably something Jesus said. But again, it's from that saying source, the cue source. And so what the gospel writers do is take that phrase and put it into the story. This is maybe where he said it. And what we hear today is Jesus is saying this to followers. Come follow me, but here's one of the conditions. It's still disturbing, though, isn't it, to hear that phrase? I'd like to offer a thought on it, though. That gives you a little sense of perhaps where that phrase came from. But what it means is a challenge. You have to remember, too, that these gospel writers, sometimes this is new for some folks, and many people already know this, but none of the gospel writers were eyewitnesses of Jesus. The gospel writers were not disciples or apostles. They came later. They were counting on stories that had been handed down, pretty much the oral tradition that was passed on. That's how they wrote these gospels. And so they have this kind of way of choosing phrases and putting them in, and what do they mean? Here's what I think it could mean. I believe that Jesus was many things. But one of the things Jesus was that you don't hear too often referred to is that Jesus, I believe, was a contemplative. Now, when we hear the word contemplative, we usually think of quiet, wanting to go off somewhere quiet and be in prayer. You know, we think of monks and nuns and monasteries and convents living away from the world in quiet and contemplation. And there's room for that. And sometimes we need to do that, to go off in quiet, prayer, be away from everybody. But that doesn't define contemplation. What contemplation is, it's an invitation, it's a challenge to us to see reality in a new way, in a different way. Thomas Merton is a spiritual writer who's one of my favorites, who I think is a wonderful example of this. Went off to live the contemplative life in a monastery, became in the 60s one of the biggest social critics of its time, challenging society to see things in a new way. Challenged the society to live into the gospel. He saw things in a new way, and he actually angered some of the monks in his monastery by one time giving a talk saying, "We're not contemplatives. We're just a bunch of introverts gathered together who like to say prayers. That's not contemplation. Contemplation is entering into a new way, a new understanding, getting a new lens to see the world. That's what contemplation is. That's what real contemplation is." Richard Rohr says that if you enter into contemplation, your politics will never be the same. Wherever your politics are, it will change. You will see things in a new way and be challenged in a new way. Does that sound like the ministry of Jesus? I mean, what was Jesus trying to do but call people to a new understanding, get a new lens, see things in a different way? Sometimes we think of religion and Christianity as something that's meant to just kind of make us feel good about what we're already doing, make us feel good about the world we're already living in. Sometimes, I have to admit, Christianity is presented that way sometimes in the media. Some of our friends within the church present Christianity as just affirming what we already have, what we do. But the gospel really was this radical, radical challenge to change our world. To change the way we see our world. And that means in the contemplative life, which is also a part of the contemplative life, is a detachment, a renouncing, a letting go, a stepping apart. All those are phrases that have to do with the contemplative approach to life. Letting go of the world the way we see it. Perhaps letting go, those of you here who've lived many years, perhaps look back and say, boy, I see the world a lot different than the way I was raised as a child. The way I saw things, the way I was expected to see things. I've just grown and seen them in a new way. That's contemplation, I would suggest. That's the invitation through our faith tradition to see things in a new way, to be called to change our world, to be called to social justice. I think Jesus did that. And I think what he's saying in a very strong way, and it's the language too is challenging. This is a Semitic language. It's a very harsh word, this word hate. But perhaps what Jesus is saying is, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you've got to be willing to open yourself up to a new lens. You've got to open yourself up to a new way of seeing this world and detaching, perhaps renouncing, perhaps letting go of what you're used to, and perhaps symbolized by family, parents, brothers, sisters, children. And that's a challenge. That's scary. But it's a blunt statement that Jesus is making and calling us to that contemplative life. That's one way that I grapple with this phrase and this call of Jesus. And I offer that to you this morning. I believe that Jesus said this. Luke, I think,'s got it. Matthew felt the need to soften it. But I agree with I'd have to agree with my old seminary professor. I think Jesus said it. And I think our challenge is to grapple with that phrase. What does it mean? It's so hard to hear. And it's always good to grapple with what's hard to hear, what's hard to experience. So let us go forth this day as contemplatives, called to go forth with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to let go of what was for what can be, to let go of what we know for what we do not yet know, and walk into the dream and the vision that God has for us. To change this world, to change our lives, and make a difference.